Welcome everyone to today's episode of The Digital Animal with myself, Renier Lombard, and Jonathan Varenko.
How's it going, guys?
We're sitting in beautiful Cape Town with the weather looking really shocking and rainy, but it's high spirits.
Cape Town has not been showing us its best face, although considering the drought a few years ago, last year and this year, we're having a proper winter with the winters that I remember with 4 days of straight rain and all that kind of thing. It's really hard to complain when you think about the water restrictions we had a few years ago.
Oh, 100%. That wasn't a fun time. And I think a lot of us in Cape Town can relate to showering with a bucket and using it for all things.
but now it's just another thing, you know. It always feels, well, I guess that's just the thing about South Africa is we go from one disaster to the next one. So it was the drought into load shedding, which has been going on for 15 years or something stupid, and now into the pandemic. And today we're going to be talking about people in digital business. And I think the context of that is that a lot of people are now working remotely suddenly. Business has changed. The world has changed. And I think specifically in South Africa, we've gone back into a third wave, level 4 lockdown. The weather's gray and dark. And people are struggling. I mean, how have you been over the last week or so since lockdown was announced?
Oh, yeah, I can totally relate. You know, we've been in this now for, I think, just year and a half of lockdown. And it does start, you know, it wanes. It wanes on someone's motivation, you know, getting up because, you know, being remote, you don't have the people around you to feed off the energy, you know?
Yeah.
It's really come to a point. I've even said to my fiance that I might want to go out and look at a co-working space and start getting out of the house a bit.
Sure.
But then lockdown 3 comes, you know?
Yeah.
And how do you manage that? Really looking at trying to get out a bit more. Because I'm one to feed off someone's off energy.
Yeah. I find myself having these random memories, nostalgic memories of working in an office at Virgin Active and agencies, like great times that we had then that at the time, I mean, they were great, but they were surrounded by pitches and weekend work and exhaustion and panic and clients who were terrible and, you know, but nostalgia colors everything with the soft pink focus of memory.
Yeah.
And that never used to happen to me. Since I've gone remote, I've been happier than ever because I get to work from home, walk on the beach, walk the dog. You know, my son is now a year old and we've been able to be present for him instead of 9 to 5 at the office. But yeah, I think the combination of bad weather, third wave. Also, we're also looking to the rest of the world and we're seeing people like the UK, the USA, New Zealand going to live events, events and not wearing masks. It's madness, you know?
Yeah, we had a chat with one of our friends in San Francisco, and they've had to shut down some of the vaccination centers because there's just not enough people to vaccinate anymore. They're all vaccinated.
Wow.
And they literally just
they can come here.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's, you know, it comes to the thing about balance. You know, I think we would be year and a half into this, and as individuals, it's abnormal. We're not used to it. We're all working from home remotely. And we crave that balance of being able to go out and being with people in an office. I mean, just in our case, we've just hired our 37th person,
right?
And I still don't see us as a big or medium sized company because I don't see them around me.
Totally.
You know, it's we have all these little screens on Zoom, but you don't actually perceive that we've actually grown so fast that if you had to fill them into one room, you'd have to have a massive office to just accommodate everyone.
Completely. Like 37 people is a medium-sized, bordering on large agency. I think 50 is the breakpoint for a large agency.
Yeah. I mean, it's a football's offensive team, you know.
Yeah. You've got like most of a Springbok selection, like 46-man squad there. Yeah, geez. It's and as you say, because they're out of sight and in different cities and all that kind of thing, it's hard to imagine. And I think if we had the opportunity right now, if the weather was all right and if we didn't have lockdown, to have those Friday get-togethers and, you know, you pop up to Joburg and meet the people who are working up there or whatever, it would make it a lot easier.
Definitely.
So I do expect that, you know, once winter calms itself down just a little bit and hopefully once we get out of this 2-week lockdown, things will improve. But it's certainly highlighting mental health during this period.
Oh,
And another thing that I'm definitely experiencing is just like work never ends now.
Yeah.
Like the boundaries have actually, whereas working from home used to be this massive boundary between you and work, it's now become never ending. Messages coming at 10 o'clock at night, phone calls starting at 7:30 in the morning. And you know, I've literally found myself running to the bathroom in between meetings and all that kind of thing. And it's whereas when you're working in an office, there's stuff that there's time that you used to think of as wasted time, sitting around the water cooler, having a chat, making a coffee, popping down to the shops for a thing. And you would think that of that as a lack of efficiency, but yeah. it was the breathing room between work. You know?
Exactly. And I think I can totally relate. You know, last week I was feeling so burnt out because you're always on. You're always on. You're always going. You're always, you know, ready to attend a meeting or jump on a Zoom. It is never ending. And I can kind of relate it to when I was growing up. Firstly, I didn't go to high school, to traditional high school. I did homeschooling.
Right.
And the first year of my high school homeschooling, and this wasn't by fault. I actually chose this. I hated school. I hated people telling me what to do. So I could control this a lot better as an individual. I was very self-motivated, self-disciplined. But that first year of being at home, I really struggled. And the second year, I decided, let me actually go to my dad's office and actually sit near him or sit in an office near his office, because he owned a workshop. And from there, I flourished because I was able to leave home, go somewhere and actually put my all into it, treat it as a job, if you had to say it, and then come home and relax.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't in the same space. And I think a lot of us, some of us thrive at home, but I think a lot of us need that stimulation, that we need that separation. We just need a bit of balance.
Yeah. I think those are actually, that sums it up pretty well. Separation, stimulation, and balance, right?
Yeah.
So I guess let's chat a little bit about, in a digital remote working world, which is what we're increasingly going to be going into, it remains to be seen how much more going back to the office we're going to see after the pandemic. I think there will obviously, big companies will want people to come back in, those who are still paying rental for space and all that kind of thing. But the smaller, more agile companies are probably going to stick primarily remote, right?
Definitely.
So I think some of those challenges, for example, in stimulation is obviously it's getting outside, it's meeting your coworkers, it's having conversations, it's getting fresh inputs so that your life isn't just work, because eventually you'll end up drained. And then when it comes to boundaries, I mean, that's a big thing for me. And it's mostly, I got to say, the fridge. Because every time I take a break, every time I stop for a second, in our social media addled world, I've got a very short attention span now. I get bored immediately. And the quickest way to solve that is to like wobble on into the kitchen and have a look, poke around, see what's going down, you know?
100%.
And
I think, yeah, Jonathan, this is all new for a lot of us. You know, as much as I was still working a bit remotely before, this is now full on. Mm. And we're all learning new skills. We're all learning how to adapt, how to, you know, manage our emotions, how to manage our expectations. And actually, you know, we're very hard on ourselves as individuals.
Mm.
And I think we need to just, you know, be a little bit more lenient, you know, during this time, because it's hectic. A lot of people are sitting there and burnt out and, you know, just take some time. Some time to step back and actually just not do anything. I think a lot of people need that.
That's actually what my wife and I had a conversation about yesterday, is that, you know, and we can say it to each other. She said, I just want a day where I don't have to deal with anyone else.
Yeah.
Like not you, not Ben, not work, nothing. Like just a day where I can go away and just hide for a day. I've also felt like it's just like, I'd like the world to stop for a second so I can get off and then get back on again, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But enough complaining. What do you think are the skill set that enable good remote working and a balanced lifestyle if you're not in the office?
Sure. You know, I speak a lot about discipline and self-discipline. A lot of us aren't used to this freedom that we have.
Right.
A lot of individuals are sitting at home and there's no structure. And it's very hard for people to adjust because they're used to structure and knowing what to do, when to do it.
Yeah. Meetings at 9, exactly. Work until lunch, have lunch, post-lunch meeting.
I think it's a massive learning curve for a lot of people.
Mm.
And it's one that it's not going to go away. Also, it's one of those things that you have to embrace and you have to face head on to be able to work remotely. And if you don't adjust and you don't get that that skill set, or you don't work on that skill set, you'd have to maybe go back into an office. And do you really want to do that? Is the question.
Sure.
So I think, you know, the discipline is and being able to self-motivate yourself. It's one of the hardest things, you know, sitting there and saying, okay, cool, I'm going to do this. You know, a lot of people don't, it's a skill that they haven't developed yet.
Yeah.
And I think it's a personal skill you need to work on. because no one's going to sit there and pat you on the back and go, yes, yes, you can do this, because no one's there behind you. They're online.
Right.
So I think a lot of people are struggling. I also struggle. You know, some days I just don't feel like doing anything. And you actually have to get up and do it, because, I mean, if you don't, then there's big consequences, you know.
Yeah, especially if you're managing people exactly. Who kind of rely on you.
You have a lot of mouths to feed, and you have to show up.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of pressure on a lot of people at the moment, business owners, employees, managers. There's a lot of pressure. So I think everyone's feeling it.
Hmm.
Everyone wants to, and it is waning. You know, it's weighing on people. But the skills that we build now is going to help us in the future. And it's okay to fall down and fail, you know, as we had in the last episode.
Sure.
This is all an experience that we're going through. So I think we just try and give it our best as we can, you know.
So a lot of the kind of the standard recommendations for working successfully at home are boundaries of time and space. So, you know, and I have somewhat successfully done this on WhatsApp. My status is no work stuff after 6 p.m. and I don't answer messages. Yep. I don't take phone calls after 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then space-wise, I mean, for example, we're sitting here in your home and you live in a very open plan downstairs office space. So your fridge is
I can see my
12 fridge. Feet away, and I'm thinking about visiting it right now. But, you know, I have a little office at home. I have a little study, which I can close the door and all that kind of thing. But I fall into the trap of going and grabbing lunch, for example, and then eating it in front of my desk. And it's no longer become a place that's just for work.
Yeah.
And it's the same way in which with a child, you want the bed to be, there's no toys in the bed. It's sleep time there. I think it'll be more healthy for me in that office if it's just, this is where we work, and no entertainment, nothing like that. And you keep everything else outside. So that's the boundary of space. And then time-wise, I mean, what are you trying to make sure that you find time for during the week that's not work, exercise, or
100%? And you need to have those hour, that hour of time separating the day, and it needs to be, you know, either sit away and have lunch somewhere, mm-hmm. And actually just, you know, re-energize for the rest of the day. What I love doing is taking the dogs for a walk.
Yeah.
I do it every day, rain or shine,
mm-hmm.
We're taking the dogs for a walk.
Sure,
and it breaks up my day, so I'll go. Even as early as 11 or 2, and it's just for half an hour, 45 minutes, get some fresh air, get some exercise in, and it really helps you break up your day. You know, if the gyms are open, try and go to gym during the day or at the end of the day. But I would, you know, being active and getting some fresh air is really, really important.
Sure.
I can't stress that enough.
Yeah. And I guess if you're living with other people as well, it's making that little ritual of making lunch or dinner or at the end of the day, kind of reconnecting, because
definitely.
I've certainly found in the last week with my wife so busy that, you know, she's online until 6:30 or something like that. And then all we can do is have dinner and collapse in front of the TV. And,
yep.
And that's not what I want my life to be forever.
Yeah. Being in the people business, you know, managing individuals, we don't sell products, we sell time. We sell expertise, service. Yeah. And I'm at the forefront. I see, working with individuals remotely, seeing how people are struggling. Some people are thriving. And some people need to, you know, some of them can't do it, you know?
Hmm.
And so that's okay. It's not to say it's you don't know what you're doing or you're not good at something. It's just a lot of people crave being in an office,
sure.
Which is completely fine.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, a lot of people are fine working remotely and they enjoy it. So I guess it's just, you know, looking at your strengths, looking at what weaknesses you have, and those weaknesses being able to become stronger, because the pandemic is not over. Mm. It's far from over.
Sure.
It'll still be here for a while, especially in South Africa, because our vaccination program is lacking. It will be here for the next year, 2 years. And even then, I mean, do you want to go really back and sit in traffic and go to an office? Is the question.
Yeah.
It's all the other question.
It's all nice to have nostalgia until you actually have to jump back into traffic.
I mean, didn't you say you were going somewhere the other day and
I just hated it.
You hated it?
Yeah. The moment I got stuck in traffic, I was like, what is this incredible waste of my time?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's madness.
I used to drive back from town to Rondebosch every day.
Yeah.
And you're stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I actually didn't mind it that much, because it was about a half an hour, 45 minutes. And the view was amazing. It was the best place we stuck because you've got the whole Cape Town to look at. Not everyone's got that view. And it was a bit of my time. It was a switch off time where I had to be in traffic.
Yeah.
I would listen to talk radio.
Yeah.
Not the best thing to listen to because you get upset sometimes with what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I did the same kind of drive, morning drive kind of thing, but back in the time before podcasts were a thing.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I'd be able to handle it between Audible audiobooks and podcasts. I think I'd be fine now. It's just, but as you say, the problem is that I get severe, not external road rage, internal road rage.
Sure.
Where I layer layers of rage down inside my body and then I take them somewhere else, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like almost the people who do all the shouting and screaming actually get that out more healthily.
So I think, you know, from a skill set building perspective, the ones that will come out of this on top would be the ones that have built skill sets to accommodate this kind of work life that we have.
Right.
And being able to identify where you lack, I think, is key.
Sure.
And try and build up on that. A lot of time I say to people, if you're not good at something, if you don't like doing it, do that more.
Right.
Because if you do that more, you become comfortable. It's like public speaking. The first time you're on stage, you're kind of pooing yourself a little bit.
Sure.
But if you do it more and more, it's going to be quite easy.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first started, I would get so anxious in meetings. Just before a meeting, I'd literally have to change my shirt because I'm just sweating so much.
Yeah.
And you get so anxious. But now it's like, I actually really enjoy it because it's just so dynamic and I love people and I love pitching and I love getting into a room and seeing everyone's eyes looking at you and like, what are you going to talk about? I love it now, you know?
Right.
Physical pitching, I also love. Actually, I prefer it than Zoom because you can feed off people's body language and a lot of that
stuff. Absolutely,
And I do miss that. I do miss getting into a room with all these managers and board directors sitting around a table and pitching.
Yeah.
Because I really enjoyed it.
Knowing that they're not checking their phones or otherwise distracted
and
is also good.
And it wasn't about the sale for me. It was, you know, about the actual being and having conversations with these people and pitch. And it's like a bit of a hunt at the end of the day.
You know?
But now it's a bit different, you know. You have to do it on Zoom. You don't feed off that energy, off that body language, which is a bit difficult in my perspective.
Sure.
But as I said, you know, if you can run towards what you're not good at, you will improve.
Yeah.
And just do it more.
Yeah. Like if you're not a person who has good structures during your workday, like I was a little bit all over the place when I first went freelance, I knew that I would have to put some structures in place. And the pandemic's thrown everything a little bit underwater, but you know, I would, my daily calendar has got repeating things every day for, you know, breakfast and coffee with the wife, walk the dog, journaling, lunchtime, exercise. It's, you know, every day has got those things built in. And the problem is that you can lose track of those things even when they're there in your calendar and you lose the boundary. Someone says, oh, I can only meet at 9 o'clock and it's in the middle of your thing and you allow it. And then it becomes a set. Then it becomes a problem that's going to continue.
That's it.
What do you think are benefits of working remotely? So if we discard the pandemic for a second, if we just look at the world's not on fire, everything is not completely crazy, and you're looking at an office space versus a remote working kind of digital company, because we talked a little bit about in the last episode, you were talking about how company culture can become toxic. Mm. One bad apple can ruin the batch and it causes all kinds of HR stuff and all that. What are in your mind, in non-pandemic world, what are some of the advantages of having a company that's primarily remote?
I think, you know, some of the advantages is the ability to be very flexible and to hire talent that's not in immediate geographic location.
Right.
Normally, if you're an agency in Cape Town, you hire people in Cape Town. You know, and that's gone out the window. We don't need to look in Cape Town. Our talent pool is now worldwide.
Mm.
We can hire individuals and work with individuals anywhere. I mean, we have an employee actually that's starting with us mid July, and she actually asked, "Would I be able to go live in Bali and work from there?" I was like, "Feel free to do that."
Wow.
You know, you can go live in Bali, and what's lovely now, Bali is actually come and I think they're doing a 5-year digital nomad visa now.
Oh, really?
And you get to earn zero percent tax on any income that you earn if you're a digital nomad. So they attracting this.
So they want you to spend money on, you know, in restaurants and rent and all that stuff, but they don't necessarily want to tax
you. You're living in a villa, you're spending money, you're doing certain things. and you didn't pay no tax, which is quite
which is
an
good
appeal.
Because South Africa is going to tax you.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, exactly.
The double taxation thing has actually pushed an incredible amount of people towards immigration.
Exactly. So you know, there's a lot of benefit from the talent pool. There's a lot of benefit from being able to adjust and pivot quite quickly. We don't have massive fixed overheads. A lot of it is variable.
Yeah.
Which is very, very crucial in startup. You know, as much as we are 12 years into the business now, I still see us as a startup.
Right.
And it we'll be a startup until, I guess, we acquired one day, if that happens.
Right.
You have to have that mindset of startup because never become comfortable.
Exactly. What's the alternative? Like we're an incumbent.
Yeah, yeah.
We're just waiting to be eaten by the hyenas.
That's it. Once you become comfortable and you're not looking to grow, that's when you start decreasing and going backwards.
Totally.
So yeah, I mean, it's just the remote side of it. There's a lot of positives, a lot of negatives. But it's just weighing those up and those pros and cons, I guess.
You know, that's the fact that you can kind of work with anyone anywhere. I guess there's a couple of provisos to that. Number one being huge time differences. If you're working with someone in San Francisco, for example, they're almost on the opposite side of the world. So it can make communication difficult and it can break down those boundaries. So it is nice that South Africa falls within the kind of the European time zone area.
Definitely.
But it's more nice for them than it is for us because they get to hire based on rands and we have to hire based on euros and
pounds,
you know?
They don't have to spend time getting to the work, you know, spending that time. They can, and I think it's a obligation of a business owner to help employees with if they are struggling remotely, give them support. What we're doing now at the moment is we've just hired a personal development coach for our employees to come in and actually sit with them on a monthly basis to coach them.
Sure.
From a productivity point of view, from a personal development point of view. Mm. So instead of us now putting a lot of money into an office, we're able to repurpose that and put it into our people and grow them because they are our biggest asset.
Yeah.
And invest in this individual that's not cheap, you know, that comes in and actually develops our people where they wouldn't have had that if they were actually in maybe a physical office. It's something that we probably might not have done. But because we're remote, we want to be able to make sure that everyone has all the skills and, you know, will develop the skill sets that they can become, you know, ultimate remote workers.
Yeah. What a brilliant new form of work that is. If you're a psychologist or a coach to pivot towards helping companies, employees deal with working remotely.
100%.
Because a lot of the people who struggle with working remotely are the same people who actually... I'm like this when it comes to exercise. I just want someone to tell me what to do and I'll do it.
Yeah.
But if you say, you know, go ahead and work out by yourself, I've got target blindness. I could be doing cardio. I could be doing weights. I could be doing body weights. I could be doing 1,000 different things. So if an expert tells me this is the best way for you to exercise, then I'm all over it.
It's a fantastic new profession. I mean, and a lot of companies don't think of it. I mean, when we sat back and thought about it, you need to, you know, it's not normal. What we're in is not a normal situation. And everyone's just trying to deal, you know, and a lot of people need external help. I, for one, as well. I mean, I've got a business coach. We have now a personal coach. You need people to have soundboards and actually be able to deal with this because we're human at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know? We're social beings. We want to be in social situations. So yeah, I think it's very important for business owners to invest in their people. Just from a mindset and a burnout perspective, give them the tools to manage that stress, you know?
Yeah. Because mental health has become much more of an ongoing training situation than the previous, like, hey, let's all go grab a pizza on Fridays.
Definitely. And it opens up a whole new profession for people to become these personal development coaches for remote workers.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of you have watched a sitcom called Billions, and they've got an in-house coach that drives performance.
Right.
That kind of profession, it was there, but I think it's going to be a big expansion into the future.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's take a little break there and pick up in a couple minutes. Okay. So we're back and we just want to chat a little bit about living in a digital remote world, how to project yourself professionally so as to get clients, as to maintain relationships, as to be effective. So, what are your thoughts on that, Renia?
So I think it's very important for, as an individual, to look at your digital ecosystem and presence at the moment. Have a look at how your social media pages are curated, what content is on there. If there is anything that you need to, or you don't want people to see, go remove it.
Google yourself.
Google yourself. Google yourself. Look at the images. Look at videos. Look at...
On safe search. Or, yeah. I mean, not safe search. On incognito mode, yeah, yeah. So that you don't get any of your cookies exactly. interfering with it.
And when you do Google yourself, the first thing that pops up is your LinkedIn profile. Right. And go look at it. Go look at how you have positioned yourself, what's on there, what information's on there. It's very important because at the moment, as soon as you apply for something or as soon as you interact with someone, people are researching you.
Right.
And
because they're not meeting you for exactly. interviews anymore, yep. or at least they might, but predominantly they're going to be also HR people are a lot more tech 100%. Savvy now.
I mean, we just got introduced to this interview software where it's not a human. It's a software it's a link that you get sent to go for the first stage of interview. And it's a video that's recorded. So they ask you a question and you answer it from the recording. And only to get to the next second interview, the recruiters look at the videos and they say if you're a fit or
not. Wow. So that must be on a pretty big scale, right?
Not, yeah.
But I mean, that sounds like some Blade Runner dystopian.
No, it's actually an agency in South Africa. Okay. They're called Wamly. Okay. We'll put a link in the description for you.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I mean, we applied for an accelerator program and we had to go through that video interview to get to the second stage. And a lot of companies are using that because there's, you know, it is very difficult to have 100 interviews on a daily basis if you're hiring at scale. So a lot of them will have some automation in the beginning. So, you know, working on your presentation skills, working on how your camera, the background that you have, mm-hmm. you know, what kind of perception does that look like? Do you have the right lighting? So investing a bit in that, you know, looking at how people perceive you online.
Yeah.
And, you know, on a Zoom screen, because that's what the norm is now.
Yeah.
And etiquette, you know, do you arrive on time? Do you make sure that you dressed? Because, and I've seen this a lot of people do Zooms thinking that they're just in their home environment and they can just wear normal home stuff.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, in a professional environment, you wouldn't go to someone's boardroom in, you know, just a t-shirt.
The hoodies that both of us are currently wearing.
Yeah, sure. Depending on the client and depending on that relationship. But you should treat your Zoom room as you would going into a normal meeting.
Totally.
100%.
I mean, if you don't already have a ring light behind your second screen or above your computer or something, lighting up your face, get one. It costs 130 Rand or Take a Lot or something. Curate your background. Like, what is behind you? There's a couple of no-nos. A lot of people put a window behind them, which means they just look like a silhouette, which means you look like you're talking to some kind of spy, which doesn't exactly engender trust. Whether it's a bookshelf with, you know, that gives people the idea of all that you're educated, that you read books, whether it's photographs of family, whether it's art, whatever it might be, be aware that when you're talking on Zoom, people are, well, primarily they're staring at themselves if I'm anything to go by, but then secondarily, they're very interested in what's going on behind you.
Definitely.
So make sure that you're projecting yourself correctly there. You know, don't have a mess behind you. Yeah. Don't point your laptop so that it's mostly looking at the ceiling and you can only see half of your head. Invest if you can in a small microphone. If your laptop sounds tinny or if the room that you're in has a lot of reverb in it, you know, close the curtains, put a few other objects in the room to get that sound right and make sure you're lit properly.
Definitely.
It's the new boardroom.
Definitely. And I mean, you're saving money on petrol, let's be honest.
Exactly.
Use that to invest in your home office.
Never mind that a lot of that stuff you can put on your tax anyway.
Exactly.
Because you're buying tools for work.
Yeah. It's just a good impression. You know, our digital presence is so important. We need to be able to make sure that whatever people are seeing is what you want them to see.
Yeah.
So go curate it. Go look at your Instagram feed. Go look at your Facebook feed because 10 to 1, everyone's looking at it.
Sure.
And put stuff out there that is conscious, that consciously knowing that someone's going to look at it. Ask yourself, are you okay with a client seeing this?
Yeah.
Are you okay with a potential employee seeing this? Those are the questions you have to ask before you even post anything.
Sure. And if you rebel against that idea, if you have social media platforms that you think I shouldn't have to post work stuff or be a professional, then just make them private.
Yeah.
Make your Instagram private, make your Facebook basically invisible to anyone who's not a friend of
yours.
That's it. Yeah. And then be open on LinkedIn or whatever it might be.
Exactly.
So just curate your channels essentially.
But yes, it's very important. Go Google yourself, go and look at what's out there. Look at the images, the videos, anything that can link back to you.
Yeah.
And if you do find something that is unfavorable, just try and go try and remove it wherever it is.
Yeah.
There's
a Japanese concept called honne and tatemae, and honne means real and it's your real face, and Tatemae is the face that you show public. And to people raised in a kind of a more Western culture, it feels dishonest to curate what people can see of you. It feels like you're hiding parts of yourself. Whereas in Asian culture, it's perfectly acceptable that this is the face that I show work and this is the face that I have at home. And they could be two totally different people. In Japan, obviously, they've inculcated it to the point that it is, it's can be quite extreme differences. But for you, don't be afraid to have your professional face and your personal face, even though Western culture does a lot to say like, be real and just be, no one should be able to tell you who you are and be free. Like, I think that's bullshit actually. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
it depends on you and your clients as well. If you work in an industry where your personality, your inner thoughts are important, and the clients, you have a relationship with your clients where you're going to go and have a couple of beers, you're going to talk real talk, cool. But if your client is a corporate entity, you know, and the people who work there are representing that, and it's a business-like atmosphere, then just alter the way you present yourself for that. Like, it makes them comfortable. You're being empathetic in that you are showing, you're communicating with them on the level that they are comfortable with. A lot of, creative people want to be more real, but then when they're talking to clients, their clients are actually like, actually I prefer a little bit more professionalism. I don't necessarily want to chat with you. I want to do business with you.
100%. Yeah. It's a beautiful world we're living in, ladies and gentlemen. I think we need to embrace it. I think we need to run headfirst into it. And just like anything, it's a bit maybe unfortunate to say this, but the strongest will survive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what are you doing to upskill your mindset, upskill yourself? What are you doing to invest in yourself? Because the ones that are investing in themselves at the moment are the ones that will come out of this on top.
Yeah. We've all ended up working remotely or working from home almost as a reaction to the pandemic. And a lot of us just kind of are struggling along, trying to figure it out as we go along without any thoughtful preparation, skill acquisition, any planning. They're not reading books on how to work from home, not reading, getting content of how to do it better. So, you know, there's obviously a lot of that content. It's the internet. It's all there. Have a look, maybe read some articles or books also about, you know, preserving your mental states, keeping your boundaries of space and time, and be better at the skill of being remote. I don't think either of us are talking from a position of having it done perfectly. We're not getting it perfectly right. I know I'm struggling as well. But it's conversations like this that are actually going to make me go back home and think about, okay, maybe I need to be having lunch with my wife at a certain time outside of my office instead of just, you know, guzzling it down in between meetings, setting some personal boundaries.
We're not perfect. We probably will never be perfect in whatever this is, but acknowledging it and, you know, improving.
Yeah.
So every day, little improvements, or trying to improve what you know, what you have, is what is key. You know, giving yourself that armor to handle anything that comes through it is what you need to build on. It probably will never be perfect, and no one will really is. But just knowing what ammunition and armor you have to tackle that.
One little kind of tool I would suggest for some people is setting expectations with clients and other people as early as possible. And a lot of people basically the tip I would have is tell people, I check my email in the morning and at lunchtime and at the end of the day. Those are the three times I check my email, and I don't take messages during that time either. So then expect response from me at lunchtime, in the morning, or in the evening. And otherwise, don't expect me to check my mail or my messages. If you have an emergency, call me. Then it puts a slightly higher obstacle in the way where someone, if they want to contact you, they're going to go, is this emergency? Is this an emergency? If it is, I have to call this person, which is harder to do for a lot of people. So they might actually get to the point like, actually, I'll just drop them a message and they'll get back to me at some point. Like, easy to say, hard to do, but what I can tell you is that people will actually respond positively to this stuff. No one's going to say, screw you, I need you to be available at all times. And if they are, then you've got a bad client. You've got a problem relationship there. Most people will say, oh man, I really admire that. I wish I could do that. I just can't bring myself to put those boundaries in place. They'll admire you for it.
Definitely. Couldn't have said it better there, Jonathan.
So that's a little bit of some our thoughts on people, on working remotely in the new digital world. And as we say, I don't think it's going to go away. We might, hopefully post-pandemic, we might see a little bit more back in shared workspaces, a bit more office time, a bit more social time with our peers and clients. But for now, yeah, it's tough. It's tough times.
It's tough times. Yeah, I think it's just a journey, the journey we're on, man, you know.
Yeah.
And we need to be kind to ourselves, kind to others, know that what you're seeing on a Zoom screen might not be what they're dealing with. So just be kind to individuals. And I think we have to just understand that everyone's going through hectic times. No one's sitting there and having the best time of their life. We all have challenges.
Yeah.
And I think we just need to be respectful of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks everyone for listening. Really appreciate your time. I know that you know, taking some time out during the day is quite valuable, and we really appreciate you being here and listening to us talk about a lot of stuff. So really appreciate you, and thank you.
Yeah, we hope that you're listening to us on a walk or at the gym or 100%. In some kind of personal time.
Love it.
Cool. Cheers, guys.
Bye.
The Digital Animal Podcast is recorded and mixed by Jonathan Vanka and produced by Ping Productions.